Welcome. You are listening to the Watchman Alert Radio Network, broadcasting as a voice in the wilderness. This is Warn Radio, and I'm the Watchman, Dana Smith. Welcome to today's show. And we are living by faith in the whirlwind of the last days. Now stay tuned for a great show and line up today from Warn Radio. Greetings.
Greetings and welcome to Warn Radio Battle Lines with the Watchman, Dana Smith, and me. I'm Tower. And we are glad you joined us as we have a great lineup for you today. Today is January 24th, 2019. The readings in the Word this week are found in Exodus chapter 18, verses 1 through chapter 20, verse 26. Isaiah chapter 6, verses 1 through chapter 7, verse 6. Also chapter 9, verses 5 and 6. Matthew, the New Testament portion, is Matthew chapter 5, verses 17 through 32. And also chapter 27, verses 1 through chapter 28, verse 20. And Hebrews chapter 12, verses 18 through 24. And check out the recent post by The Watchman. He has a couple new articles out there and also a video on the Blood Wolf Moon. It's history now, but he took the short video of the Blood Moon that was on January 20th, 2019, and it was shot from Casper, Wyoming. Also on the video are some short scriptures scrolling with the info on the media. And it was really a sight to see. It was gorgeous. It was cold and snowy, but it was fun to see that. So check out that and his latest articles, Choosing Life and Blessing Instead of Judgment. As Christians, we are not to love the world, nor are we to gratify the lust of the flesh, indulge our eyes in a lustful way, or allowing others to be puffed up, allowing ourselves to be puffed up by the pride of this life. Moreover, in the hearts of people proceed evil things that defile a person, that can bring upon them judgment and a curse. There is an example of this judgment of the Lord upon the people of Jerusalem. This included a warning to the young woman who in their pride brought upon themselves condemnation. This led to misery, mourning, and lamenting what happened. Also read Deceitfulness, Discernment, and Decision. Society today is deceitful, and there is a danger. True discernment is far away from most Christians. The strong meat of the gospel belong to them of full age. By this can they discern both good and evil. We are partakers of Christ only if we hold the beginning of our confidence unto the end. Go to warn-usa.com or danaglennsmith.com to read those articles and to listen to all the shows. Listen to Warn Radio worldwide from your PC, Android, Apple device, and many other avenues. Check out the front page on warn-usa.com for our Spreaker embed and links to other places to listen from, like iHeartRadio, TuneIn, Blueberry, and many more. And you can listen or watch all the shows on our warn-usa.com blog and front page, also from Spreaker or the Spreaker app. You can follow Warn Radio on Instagram and Facebook, also on Twitter, LinkedIn, Tumblr, and others. And tonight's show, we feature our battle lines in depth study of the scripture with the Watchman, Dana G. Smith. For over 21 years, the Watchman has been teaching, preaching, and warning the generations. Our study continues tonight with Apocalypse, John's Revelation of Jesus Christ, Part 11, Great Wonder. John's revelation now begins with a great wonder, and in this event we find the woman, the dragon, the remnant, the commandments, and the testimony of Jesus Christ. And now I welcome in the Watchman. Greetings, Dana. How are you doing tonight?
I'm doing good. How are you doing?
Doing good.
Well, we are here on a Thursday night, and in January here, we have gotten probably more snow this month so far than we have all winter. And, of course, January is snow and cold anyway, so, you know, that's about the way it goes. But we're through January almost, and actually...
Yeah, that's crazy. It's gone pretty fast.
It has, and to be honest with you, this winter has been not that bad for us up here, and we just have, you know, pretty much February, and then we'll be in March, and March, when it hits, we just look at spring. And it can be cold in March, but nothing like the middle of the dead of winter. So, you know, I know the mountain over here has gotten a lot of snow up there. And there's a lot of people that do winter activities up there. I was talking to one of the guys that were doing a lot of it. They did cross country. And they've got a lot of different activities up there. Snowshoeing, cross country skiing, regular skiing. And so there's a lot of activities that people do in the outdoors, and they get up on the mountain here. It's just like a couple of minutes from us, 5 minutes maybe. With good traffic, probably 5 minutes. Bad traffic, probably 10 to 15 minutes.
But, yeah.
But at any rate, you know, the Washington thing's going. Fox Business sent out something and said that there's been some kind of a down payment in funding on the border wall, and if and then there was something Trump was saying that if the House can come to an agreement, he'll sign it. So I don't know. They're
well,
all kind of
hope they come to some kind of agreement and stop
yeah.
this.
They're all kind of hush-hush on it. I noticed that there was another Republican who came out. I don't know how many of them have. I haven't seen very many of them, but I seen one that says he's ready to, you know, call it quits. He's not interested in keeping this up. And the Republicans are like that, you know. They, many times, they phony out and don't get the job done.
Yeah.
And, of course, it was the Republican Party that came up short when Trump won, so they weren't very happy about that. But since then, the Republicans have actually done pretty good in passing laws and getting judgeships done and things like that. So, you know, I mean, this has been pretty productive. Nonetheless... You know, you've got a lot of people that are in the Democratic Party that are enemies of traditional America. Absolute enemies, no doubt about it. So, you know, you're not out of the woods here. You know, yeah, it is too bad. And, you know, basically you couldn't be further apart because you have all kinds of minority groups who find a majority in being hateful of America and the way it was formed, and of course that along with it is white hatred, and of course that's why that young kid was picked out, because he was young, you know, and white, and he attended pro-life, and he had a MAGA hat on, so the people that were on the other side hate all three of them. They hate the fact that he was a Catholic. They hate the fact that he was white. And they hate the fact that he was had a pro-life, because both groups of protesters, there was a group of blacks that claimed to be the original Israel, which is not new. And then you have another group, the Indian, the Native Americans, that... of course, had the radical Nathan Phillips there. And of course, you know, the Native Americans, you know, when you go back in history, they did get a bad deal when it came to a lot of things. But what the Native Americans today don't understand, I mean, not all of them. I was raised right in the middle of an Indian reservation, and I had a lot of Indian friends, and I know the problems with it, and I know pretty much what there is, you know. So... You know, I wasn't raised around blacks. I was raised in the middle of the Indian reservation, and I was raised, there was tons of Mexicans. I had Mexican friends. I had Indian friends. I had cowboy friends. I had hippie friends, because it was in the 60s. And, but no blacks. We didn't, you know, I mean, and I had friends with everybody, you know. I mean, it didn't even enter into, well, you know, you're a Mexican. Oh, my God, you're a Mexican. Or you're a white. Or you're an Indian. That didn't enter into it. We were friends. Yeah. So, you know, so a lot of this prejudice bull comes from the liberal side who wants to push division. It really does. Because, you know, we've known a lot of people over the years, a lot of white people and a lot of other races. And there's a lot of them that they don't live every day, you know, in this world that we see on Twitter and social media. People are educated dumb online. People are just stupid online. And they need to get off of the social media and get some sense, because they sure don't have any today. You know it, Tower?
Well, that's for sure.
And, of course, some of them that should have sense, like Cher and Gaga and... you know, what kind of a name is Gaga anyway?
Yeah, I don't know.
You know, talk about, I mean, give me a break. Lady Gaga. You know, I've seen some of the stuff, and you're no lady, okay? I know a lady. And there's a lady. She's sitting in the back room, and she has more morality in her little toe than you have in your old body. Gaga, give me a break. And then, of course, Cher, she has a big mouth. And then, of course, you have
Madonna,
who has a big mouth as well. And I've seen what she did. And she, of course, she's the one that portrayed herself crucified on the cross, blaspheming the cross and the Christ that was on the cross and the Father who sent the Son. So, yeah, y'all have a lot to say. Nothing to me, of course, because to me, you're a bunch of friggin' you-know-whats.
Yep.
So, as far as I'm concerned, you know, Jezebel or whatever you want to call yourselves, you can shoot your mouth off till hell freezes over. But as far as I'm concerned, hell is not going to freeze over, and you better change your ways and repent, or you're going to find yourself firsthand that hell hasn't froze over. That's for sure and for certain.
Yeah.
And that's what this, you know, that's what this society needs. They need to be dangled over the pits of hell for a while to get them to repent.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
But see, we're living in that generation where Paul has specified that they would reject the love of the truth, which is the Father and the Son and the gospel and the whole nine yards. So they're going to reject everything we've been, you know, we preach and teach and believe. They're going to, and you know, if you get into John and you listen to John 10 through John 18, and you're going to get an education if you pay attention to that. You're going to understand that, you know, if they hated the Lord, which they did, they're going to hate Christians, mm-hmm. Period. Well, we're in that time period that Paul prophesied that it would happen even worse than what it was back then. And so hang on to your seatbelts. But we're in America, and we got news for y'all. America is still a free country. America still have some semblance of a system. There's still a lot of people that believe in Jesus Christ. There's a lot of Christian pastors out there. There's a lot of Christian organizations that didn't like what's been going on, especially with this stupid abortion thing that they did
that
in New York.
Horrible.
So, you know, I mean, I seen something else today, and it was just in passing. And it was in Texas. And I'm I'll bet Alex Jones is all over this because he's from there.
Yeah.
But they were planning, they've been planning a series of bills. This is the leftists, the Democrats down in Texas, that would muzzle Christian organizations in Texas. And I mean nonprofits and everything. This is some Obama-era policies and laws they want to put into place
horrible.
In the state. Yeah. And it was brought into the news. It made the news today. And some Christian a watchdog down there that's bringing it out was actually talking about it, saying what they're trying to do and sneak it through. But, You know, I mean, this is the way the devil works, you know. He ain't going to come in through the front door. He's too chicken for that. He's going to come in the back door. And the only time he'll come in through the front door is if he already has people in the back, you know, back of the house that snuck in already, and then he can make a parade through the front because he's got you surrounded. See, this is the way the devil works.
Yeah.
You know, that's why the Lord said that if you resist the devil, he will flee from you. Yeah, he ain't going to take you head on because he knows he's already lost. So if you, even as a new Christian, can stand there and resist the devil in Jesus' name, just resist him, he's going to flee from you.
That's right.
Because
amen.
The devil works by law. Okay, he knows the law better than you do, and being as a lot of Christians don't even want to know about the law, you need to know about the law. Matter of fact, if some of these Christian pastors knew more about the law, then they would know what is fundamentally, absolutely immoral and illegal in the pulpit or the bema seat. But of course, yeah. They don't, and so they go off on some left. Oh, dear God in heaven, give me strength. When I think about the idiot things that we do in this country, just absolutely, I can't even believe we're in a Christian nation sometimes. Well, we're not. We're not. We haven't been in a Christian nation for so long. You know, I say that just because, you know, we've always said that, but it's not a Christian nation. It's, right now, America is infiltrated with a harlot, and that's right. You can go to Revelation 17. And that harlot with all those abominations, yeah, she's poured it out in America, and Americans have been drunk on it. Matter of fact, we got a whole bunch of harlots just like her. And I mean male and female harlots. And they have sold their soul to this new juice that is coming out of this woman. And the nations are going to get drunk on her. And it just doesn't include abominations of you know, wanting to be rich and famous or whatever. It is, and it's not about sex either. It's about the whole nine yards, living and enjoying life and doing as you want. It involves a lot of pride. Pride goes before a fall. Matter of fact, in one of my articles this week, I pointed out about your sister Sodom. And of course, being as a lot of people, you know, don't like to read, they just as soon go on Twitter and read short little pithy sayings that mean nothing. And
they don't give any detail.
You know, well, at any rate, I talked about your sister Sodom. And the number one sin of your sister Sodom, and it wasn't sodomy, by the way, and it wasn't homosexuality, and it wasn't fornication. Yeah. I ain't going to tell you what it was, because if you want to know, then go read the article.
Yeah.
So, by the way, warn-usa.com, danaglennsmith.com, you'll find it there. And if you can't find it, send me an email. Send me something from the contact form. And don't try to contact us through the social media, especially Facebook. Very rarely will I answer anything. Why? Because I've got 300 people that try to send me stuff all the time, some of them two or three times a day. And I'm not there to read all your stuff. I've got enough stuff to read. I got enough stuff of my own to get put around. I don't have time, you know, so I have to make a policy somewhere. You know, policy is, you know, I just can't do it. If you really seriously want to contact us, you seriously go over to our websites, which most of you have never been because you find it easy. You're on Facebook, so you just get on Messenger. And you just zip me off something, and you know, I mean, all the time. It's like having a butler that pesters you all the time. That's why I don't even have Messenger installed anymore. I had to take it out. But, you know, if you do have a problem and a need, a real serious one, then you go to our websites at warn-usa.com, get on our contact form, and send me a contact there and explain it. And then we'll go from there.
Yeah, that's right.
Okay. So, I mean, if you're too lazy to go to my websites and go through the contact form, don't expect me to answer you otherwise. And most of these people, you know, they get on these social medias, and the social medias make it so easy for them. I mean, it's just sickening, of course. And then another thing we were talking about is the new NewsGuard by Microsoft, which is a laughing stock of crock. And, of course, they have automatically determined that Breitbart News, The Drudge, and a number of others are bad news, while CNN, the gullible CNN, which doesn't get anything right, practically.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Is an okay one among a lot of others just like them. So, yeah, we like your NewsGuard. Now we know what to avoid. NewsGuard by Microsoft, who uses it, but they pointed out that you have a right, you know, that you can, you don't have to use it. Well, even if you don't use it, the news that comes across MSN over all these things, and of course it used to be the MSN News app, that's what I knew it by, and I uninstalled it because, especially during Trump thing, it was horribly anti-Trump, anti-Christian, anti-conservative. It was like, you know, Hitler's dream. Like Mao. You know, it's just like, oh, dear God in heaven. And these are run by a bunch of young techies and old techies, globalists, who see humanism and science colliding together to create the next utopian paradise for mankind. Well, what you're going to get is hell on earth. Congratulations.
Yeah.
Have fun with that one.
That's right.
If there's going to be a kingdom on earth, I sure don't want any part of yours. I want the one with the Son of God, and his kingdom will never end. Thank you very much. You go do what you want to do, but leave me out of it, okay? Fine, we'll get along. I'll turn off everything I've got. I do have a place to go, but I ain't going to tell you. So at any rate, we're going to have to get on this. It's already okay. 22 minutes in it.
Okay, yeah. Okay, I'm ready to go. I'll see you on the other side.
Okay, she's ready to go. Okay. Well, we are in Revelation 12. And, you know, the thing about Revelation, when you get into the dispensationalism, you get into the pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib raptures and most of the church and how they've been taught, you know, and it's really hard to say most of the church because we have so many different versions and so many different beliefs in this. I just don't go there with any of it. You know, I just don't. I don't care to. I don't do your all the other cred most of you do with denominational things and all this other. I don't care what you belong to. I go by the Word of God and. In order to find out if you're redeemed, it's in the Word of God, and that's all that matters. You know, you ain't going to be any more redeemed by going to Baptist church than you are in Assembly of God. And you can be redeemed, you know, without the help of man. So, well, at any rate, well, within this, especially if you are, again, in the pre-trib rapture, a lot of this, when you get into Revelation, after a certain time period up in Revelation, a point, they do a number of things. Number one, they attribute everything in Revelation after a certain point to pure Jews who have been saved, which is a misteaching. But there are, you know, PhDs that teach this too. And of course I say, well, there's been a lot of PhDs who's been educated and got their doctorate, and they're wrong. Period. And, of course, you know, well, if you don't have a PhD to tell a PhD they're wrong, nobody listens. Well, it doesn't matter to me. I don't care. You know, if you want to believe it, help yourself. But you're wrong. So, at any rate, another thing that they do, they like to do, and that is, of course, use the thing that, you know, the Gentile church has replaced Israel. Of course, Paul had that problem too. That's why he explained it in Romans chapter 11 that God hadn't forsaken the Jews, and he hasn't. And just like he never forsook the Gentiles. See, when the Jews had Judah and the northern tribes, and the reason they were split is because it was Solomon. And when Solomon was in charge, that was the glory of Israel because they had you know, the temple, and the glory of God fell, and, you know, he had all that wisdom. He had 300 wives, 700 concubines, but the wives pulled his heart away from the Lord God, and God judged him. And of course, he kept the section to David in Judah, and then he had the northern tribe. So he divided the country, Israel, into two. And of course, they became two nations. And of course, the lost tribes became lost, scattered throughout the world. Although some of them in Israel say, well, they weren't lost. Well, yeah, they were. You got a few of them hanging around there, but most of them are gone. And then, of course, today we've got a big mess because there's a lot of them that like to say that the Jews in Israel aren't really Jews. And then you've got people in America, like we had protesting, you know, at this, you know, pro-life rally, the Black Israel. Claiming that they're the only true Jews because they were brought here as slaves and, you know, they were all Jews. And, well, no, they weren't because they were pagans in Africa and led by witch doctors and a bunch of other things. And not to mention the fact that many of the times when the slavers came in, it was blacks who led the slavers to the tribes to take them captive because they got paid for them. And even today in Africa, you still see tribalism and you see blacks against blacks endlessly. I mean, Africa is infamous for tribalism and killing one another. And, you know, but yet in Africa, there are Israelites. There's Jews. They're scattered all over the world. Well, at any rate, to get to the point here, in Revelation 12, the woman travailing in birth pained to be delivered. Now, it's really interesting because whenever you see this, the first thing you think of is when it says here, and there appeared a great wonder in heaven, a woman. And, of course, this woman was clothed with the sun and the moon, and under her feet, upon her head, a crown of 12 stars. Now, see, she delivers a baby. Now, the first thing you think is Israel delivering the Messiah. And so you think of the Jewish Israel and the woman being Mary and the babe being the Lord. But when you look at it in the context of what this is, the woman, you know, we can say that that would represent here the true Israel of God. And both male and female, Jew and Gentile. The woman giving birth, and the birth, of course, that comes out, you know, is Christ, is the Messiah. And really, the reason that we don't put Israel in here specifically, and the woman saying, you know, and saying that the woman is Mary here is a number of things, and we'll get to that. So she's clothed with the sun, meaning glory, and the moon. So the moon is a ruler over the larger of the rulers. The sun is the ruler over the day, and the moon the lesser light. And what this would represent is the total glory of which she has, both over the sun and the moon. She's standing on the moon, and you know, and you have clothed in the sun or the glory. And of course, you can see the glory that this is, and it's and so you can really see that the metaphorical type here and how it's referring to that. And under her feet. The moon under her feet, and upon her head a crown of 12 stars. And of course, we can easily put this in here as the apostles. And this woman brings forth a man-child who is to rule all nations. And this is Christ. And it's his kingdom. Now, you will find, matter of fact, this kingdom and the one that to rule. Let's go to verse 2. And she, being with child, cried, travailing in birth, and pained to be delivered. And and there appeared, okay, now I want to get back to this. Now, of course, when we talk about birth pangs, now, when we talk about the birth of the kingdom of God, and the birth of what God is doing, birth pangs, we have always used this kind of analogy in the prophetic realm when we describe the tribulation and the coming kingdom of Christ. There is that delivery, that paining before you get to the kingdom of God ruled by Christ. There is these birth pangs. And even if you were to have, for instance, an earthquake or a volcano or something like that, there's always aftershocks and there's shocks before. And there's always signs for these things. And when we talk about prophecy and the coming of the Lord and his kingdom, there's birth pangs that actually deliver the kingdom of God where he comes into the point. And there's a lot of reasons why he shows up. One of the reasons is it says that if he, you know, doesn't show up, that, you know, there will be no flesh left alive. Now, that's a good reason to show up because otherwise, you know, the beast is going to destroy everybody. And there are people that are in the world, this is again found in Revelation, that are going to be destroyed because they have destroyed the earth. So there are people, there's organizations, there's wickedness in high places that the devil uses, humans, and they're intent on destroying the earth. And so, you know, this is an intense scene. So you have a woman, and of course, going to deliver a child. Now the child is delivered. And verse 3 it says, "And there appeared another wonder in heaven." Now see, this is interesting because you have two wonders here. The great wonder, then the other wonder. Now the other wonder is definitely, "Behold, a great red dragon having 7 heads, 10 horns, and 7 crowns. Now all of these things, 10, of course, is a number of completion. For instance, you have the 5 wise virgins, the 5 foolish virgins. 10 is used in that type of scenario where it's completion. 7 heads, 7 is a number, we call it God's number, it's a perfect number of completion prophetically, and 7 crowns. And of course, the horn does represent power, so he's given all power. 7 crowns means he has that total ability to rule is what he's going to do on earth, and 7 heads. So this is, all this means is that this dragon, and of course, this is not any color of dragon. This is a red dragon. Now, see, red is really easy. Whenever you see red, like if you see a scarlet woman dressed in red, that's a danger signal. And it's flashy. You want to be seen. If you are driving on the street and you see a red light, that means you can go. You see a red light, it means you stop. It shocks you. We have a street sign down here that has a stop, and it has lights all around the top of it flashing when you near. And those red lights say, caution, stop, beware. And so when we see a red dragon, we see a dangerous sign. We see something that says stop. This is not your normal dragon. This is one that, of course, is the beast, is, you know, the devil, it is Satan. It is everything that is wrapped up. This is exactly who he is. He has this power, and he's going to rule. And it says in his tail, drew the third part of the stars of heaven. Now see, when Paul talks about, for instance, Satan, he says he can appear as an angel of light, and so can his minions. Now see, that is another metaphor and scenario to show you what Lucifer shows like, can be revealed as. Now see, the reason this is a red dragon is not to show you who he appears as an angel of light. We already know he will, because as the beast, And also, as the son of perdition, we see that he will declare himself to be God in the temple of God, and he will, of course, do signs and wonders. That's appearing as an angel of light, or as light, as truth. And so here, when you see great red dragon, this illustrates the dangerous nature, the ability to destroy, the ability to control. It is something, and also the fact that he drew a third part of the stars of heaven. These stars represent, of course, the angels that fell and cast them to the earth. They fell to the earth, and so did the dragon. Matter of fact, the Lord said that I saw the devil, Satan, fall, you know, as lightning to the earth. And of course, and the dragon stood before the woman, which was ready to be delivered, for to devour her child as soon as it was born. Now we also know, if you look, you remember back to even Mary, you can draw some scenario to Mary, because her and Joseph went down in Egypt for a while to get away from the persecution there and the problem there, and then they came back. But, you know, the problem that we have here is that this one is in the latter part. This is, she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron, and her child was caught up unto God and to his throne. And, of course, it's easy to look at this as and see this as the Messiah. He is going to rule all nations. He's going to rule them with a rod of iron. He's going to rule as the greater son of David. He's going to do it from Zion, Jerusalem. And of course, you might say, well, you know, Israel, you know, what about her? Well, Israel, as Paul says, if you get in Matthew 24, Mark 13, Luke 21, you find out that you know, the Gentile nations, of course, there's when the fullness of the Gentiles come to an end, Israel's blindness is going to come to an end at the same time. They're going to come to know the Lord. When you get into Zechariah, the last chapter of Zechariah, you see this battle. There's a battle that goes on for Jerusalem when she's surrounded. In the Gospels, it talks about when you see Jerusalem surrounded, you know, and it warns you that it's going to be so detrimental you get out of there, that this is the time of great wrath. This is what it is. Now, see, this is when you get into this, though, and we really look at this. You know, I mean, there's so many different people that take these things different ways. And like, for instance, if you were really looking at the fact of a pre-trib rapture or any kind of a rapture for the church and the people that would teach this from that point, they would look at this and they would declare this this woman to be born as being the church. And of course Paul says that, you know, he says that it's going to be male, female, Jew, Gentile, all be one in Christ. And of course she brings forth this man-child who is, you know, the son of God. Now see, of course this scenario even has problems, because when we look at it, you know, we know that Mary brought forth Christ. The church didn't bring forth Christ. Christ, you know, made sure that the church came, and it was born at Pentecost. And it was the result of Christ, you know, going to the Gentiles. Matter of fact, when he was on earth, he actually went to the Samaritans and others and ministered, the woman at the well as well. And, of course, they weren't all Jews. You know, and matter of fact, the Jews and them didn't really get along at all. Christ, you know, in the first, he went to the Jews, he went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him. And what he found was, when he was on the street, there was Jews that believed on him, and there was non-Jews who believed on him. And most of the religious Jews rejected him. I mean, a lot of them did. Certainly the temple and the temple priest and all of his people rejected him. They were plotting to get rid of him. So there was a lot of intrigue in all of this. So by the time you get look at this, now remember, this is prophecy. This is revelation. This is future. And it's not necessarily going back in the past all the way to when Satan brought down a third of the angels and it rebelled against God and was cast to the earth. But the reason this is in there is to show you why this dragon is red and why it was talking about all the power that he had. This dragon had the power enough to convince a third of the angels to rebel against God. He was that powerful. So this is the danger here when we talk about it. And of course, the woman there, it doesn't specifically tell you. But see, the other thing we look at here is that the church today, most of the church has never seen the Son of God. We believe by faith we've never seen him. But yet there's a kingdom coming, and the kingdom has to be birthed. And with that kingdom, it's going to basically come as a result of the Son of Man. So, you know, we can see this as the birth of a kingdom. The man-child, which is Christ and his kingdom, he's going to rule and reign. And so these are the conflicts within here. But the next verse in verse 6 is where you see, and the woman fled into the wilderness where she had a place prepared of God. Now see, many can also see Israel in this as well, because many of them feel that in prophecy, especially when we look at the Zechariah scripture, and there is an earthquake there, and it splits open a path for the Jews to flee out of there. Many people believe that there is going to be a place for the Jews to flee. And this here talks about 3.5 years. Matter of fact, when you look at some of the prophecy books that have been written, they actually place a safe place for the Jews and for the Christians. But the key here is 3.5 years. And, of course, it says here 1,203 score days. Now, see, that's a time period. Now, if you go to Revelation 13, where we talk about the beast, it says in there, when he begins, the minute he is recognized, he has to be revealed. But when he is revealed and we recognize who he is, he begins to do. There's a number of days in there mentioned. And it comes to about 3.5 years. But when you look at the days, there's a little bit difference in the time and half a times and the specific number of days between Revelation and, say, like you get in some of the other prophecies in Daniel and other places. And so there is a little bit of a difference in some of those, and there's some people make it up with different ideas here, but basically it has to do with this is the amount of time that she's going to need to be there. 3.5 years. We know the beast is going to be doing his thing for 3.5 years. Now see, for the church that pushes the 7-year tribulation, they figure that the 3.5 years, the first 3.5 years, the beast comes to power and he creates a peace treaty with Israel, builds a temple, and then he turns on them in the middle of the tribulation. And the last 3.5 years is the wrath of God tribulation. The church is raptured out. That's the mid-trib theory. And what you have is that in the latter part of that is, the, you know, the church is already gone. Now, what this says here, though, it says a safe place for 3.5 years. And that 3.5 years could easily match exactly what the beast is going to be in power. Now, of course, when we talk about a place of safety and exactly who it is going to be here, and if we take the woman to be the church, then you would say a place of safety. Now, most of the people that believe in the pre-trib, now, if you believe in the pre-trib actually happens even before the beast comes to power, or right on the verge of it, and that's what most of the Christian movies do when they're talking about the pre-trib, you know, and then going into that. Now, see, I can tell you, and you may not like this, but you know, the pre-trib rapture that most of the church in America pushes is wrong. It's just wrong. And my alma mater, Assemblies of God. That's, you know, they teach that, you know, but I don't care that they teach it, but that's what they feel. There's, you know, they have PhDs that teach it, but they're all wrong. And it doesn't matter, you know, if you want to believe in it, that's fine with me. I don't care. I'm just telling you, you don't want to believe it, that's your problem, or your prerogative, you know. But the bottom line of it is that we know absolutely that the 3.5 years of this start when the beast comes to power. We know that. And we know the minute he starts, and we know that it leads to the end of his reign, which would mean that that is the time that the Son of God comes back. He comes back to set up his kingdom. We know this from prophecy. This is what Scripture says. There is nowhere in Scripture does it tell you there's going to be a 7-year tribulation. The only thing people have going for them is the 70th week of Daniel in that teaching, which does not, in my book and other books, even other PhDs that we've discussed this with, you know, in theology, do not see this as even relevant to this. Now, see, the reason that's important is that the initial time leading up to the tribulation can be years. You know, the tribulation and the birth pangs can be years, not 7 years. Because if we look where we're at now, we've had an increase of tribulation and troubles from the year 2000 onward, and it's getting worse. We have some of the worst persecution of Christians today in modern history. We have the worst thing facing freedom in America as we have in since we've been a nation, really. So these are the problems. And of course, you know, for you that has to make sense out of this, the bottom line is this. Okay, the bottom line is this, is that the church is going to be here on the earth. Israel is going to be here on the earth. The gospel is going to be preached till the very end. There is going to be a gospel. And this gospel shall be preached in all the world for a witness, and then the end shall come. The end is not going to come at all. And I mean the end of end. Even during the tribulation, you're going to have the two witnesses who will be given witness to the truth of the Messiah and redemption all the way to the end. You're going to have the gospel go forth. Now, we're going to be discussing this in more detail about how the beast is going to make war. And it says he overcomes them. That word overcome in the Greek means to wear out. But that doesn't mean that all the church is going to be absolutely slaughtered and killed. A lot of them are going to die. There's going to be a lot put in prison. But the bottom line of it is, there will be miracles and signs and wonders, as there are today and as we report. You got to remember, when you look in the context of things, let's go back to Noah and his boat. The whole world faced judgment. Noah wasn't raptured off the earth. Okay? He went through the problem of the flood, but he was in the ark. Lot. He was in Sodom, you know, that whole place in there, the plain. Sodom and Gomorrah was destroyed. He and his two daughters made it out alive. His wife didn't, because she didn't obey, and she turned around and looked. There are reasons for that, which I've covered in the time past, but Lot was not taken out of the world. When God judged Babylon to get the Jews out of Babylon, he told them to come out of Babylon and to let Jerusalem come to mind. Get out of there, they were told. And they were also told by the prophet that when this happens, you're going to hear a rumor the first year. Don't believe it. That's just a rumor. Then it'll come the second year. Don't believe that one either. But when it comes again, you will know that that's the time. You'd better get out. Let Jerusalem come to mind. Okay? Now, having said all that, we do not see biblically anybody that has been raptured out because of that. Now, some people talk about Enoch, you know, and Elijah, who was taken out of here. They weren't raptured out, folks. And they weren't in any way, shape, or form have to do anything with judgments whatsoever. Now, the Lord talks about some of this. If you read that context, John 16 through 18, you'll get the idea, because he says, I pray thee, Father, that you would not take them out of the world, but keep them from the evil. And in Luke 21, it says, watch and pray always that you would be counted worthy to escape all these things that are going to come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Those are two major scriptures that the Lord said. Number one, he is coming back. Number two, if you know him and seek him, he does not forsake his own. He knows them. But he's also warned us. And we're going to talk about the first of these particular marching orders for the church. Now, these are things that, you know, this is meat. And this kind of meat is tough to chew on at times, because this tells you a few things. So at any rate, the woman goes where she's nourished for 3.5 years. Now, if we take this as at the church and we say, well, there's a mid-trib rapture, well, for those who believe this, they're going to be up in heaven. Now, of course, when you write this out in a timeline, of course, you have the church up at the marriage supper of the Lamb, and you're doing all that while the rest of the world's going through hell. But see, there are some problems theologically with a lot of that, especially if we just take the Gentile church out, and of course any of the Jews that are Christian as well as at the time. But see, when we get into Revelation, the whole thing changes. Because it has to do with the fact that this time, who are you going to believe and who are you going to follow? And there's a number of things that come into play here. Now, and there was a, we covered that, the war in heaven. Now, in verse 10, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now has come salvation, strength, and the kingdom of our God, and the power of his Christ. For the accuser of our brethren is cast down, accused them before our God day and night. Now, Satan has been cast down. He's already lost the battle. See, Christ is at the right hand of the Father, ever living to make intercession for the saints. Now, in the Old Testament, before the redemptive portion of that Christ did on the cross, you found Satan, Lucifer, you found him in the presence of God. You know, for instance, in Job, you know, the Lord says to him, have you considered my servant Job? And of course, Satan goes and tempts him from there. But see, Satan doesn't have any power as far as that is concerned anymore. He's been cast out. He tried to overthrow God. God's not going to allow him, you know, well, hey, I'm going to keep him around and he can come before my throne anyway. This is an enemy that took a third of the angels, for crying out loud. That's why a lot of them are locked up. But as we've covered already, there's a lot of these that are being released for this time period. Now, see, in verse 11, this is one I use a lot. And they overcame him. This is the dragon. The fight here, okay, is about the dragon. They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb. Now, that's the redemptive portion when you receive the Lord. He went to his own, and his own received him not, but to as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. John chapter 1. And they were given that power. And they weren't, that power didn't come from the will of men, but from God. That's the emphasis in those verses. And of course, in John 3, Nicodemus finds out you must be born again by the Spirit. And in 1 John 1, it talks about if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all unrighteousness. Also in 1 John chapter 1, verses 7 through 9, and there's a little section that if we sin, He is faithful and just. We can confess our sin, and he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. This is the walk that the disciple, the Christian, is supposed to be walking. They receive the Lord. They believe him. They're born again by the Spirit of God. They're given this regenerative power through the Spirit to overcome and walk above the lusts of the flesh, not in them, to be above it. Now, of course, doesn't mean you're perfect, but it does mean that the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, yes, they may be a battle, but you can overcome them. You can overcome this stuff. And you can live in victory. And you can pray for the sick, and they can be healed. You can believe in miracles and signs and wonders that they will follow you. Now, they're not going to follow you all the time, you know, but they will occur when God wills it, you know. I mean, Paul the Apostle and all the young apostles, you know, when we talk about praying for the sick and they will be healed, you know, sometimes that healing may take a day or two. There are people that are absolutely instantly healed, and we get this instant thing here in America that all of a sudden, if we go into James, you know, you can anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord, you know, and they'll be taken care of. They'll find their healing. You pray for the sick and they shall recover. So, at any rate, in this, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, by the word of their testimony, and the love of their lives, not unto death. Now, that is the marching orders for this time period. They overcame by the blood of the Lamb. They're absolutely, positively redeemed. They're a disciple. They follow him. They walk in his light. They overcame by the word of their testimony. The Lord said that if you confess me before men, I'll confess you before the devil and his. I'll confess you before the Father and his angels. And if you deny me, I'll deny you before the Father and his angels. You love not your lives unto death. Whoever loses their life for my sake, in the gospel, shall find it. And so you'll see these things here. So this is that the overcoming end of days remnant. That I give them the name of the remnant. That's the ones that are going through this. Now, of course, we went through the seals where there was a lot of people who had lost their lives. And they were under the throne of God. And they wanted to know how long the Lord would wait before they, he did something about those who had killed them. Well, see, all of Revelation is about blood guilt. It's about the paying back of the blood. And the judgments, when you go through them, and we went through some of them already, we talked about this, we're going to see more. And, you know, the judgments themselves have to do with giving people blood to drink. The waters get turned into blood, you know, and things like this. And this is because of the people and what they've done. By the time you get to Mystery Babylon and you get to the harlot, that also comes in about paying back the blood because they had killed. They had destroyed the prophets. They had destroyed the saints, and also they're held accountable for all those who have died on the earth. And we'll get into that. So this is the battle in the end of days. This is the dragon that is mighty powerful when he comes, and he's going to convince a lot of people to follow him. And he'll come on the... Now remember, he's lawless. He's the god of chaos. The god of chaos, in order to come in, has to have chaos in order for him to come in. So the world has to be in somewhat of a chaos, kind of like it is now. We are in chaos now. A lot of people don't know what they believe. Things are, you know, Christians are thrown in jail. They're getting killed all over the world. We've seen ISIS go through 2014, 2015, and kill a lot of people, and a lot of Christians, and Yazidis, and even Muslims. So we see that. Now what we're seeing is a lot of former Muslims that are coming to the Lord in a lot of areas. And they are going out, they're they're creating churches, they're getting believers. These believers are former Muslims. We see the same thing among a lot of the, you know, other religions, you know, like Buddhists and others. God is moving, and he's moving in conjunction with these people with miracles and signs and wonders, major signs and wonders. We've been reporting on this. Now, see, when we go into the depths of the tribulation, do you think God is going to do things any different? Well, matter of fact, when you get into the types that we use for this, which is in Daniel, you know, there's a portion of Scripture in Daniel that talks about the saints, you know, that are going to be doing great exploits, signs and wonders. And at this time, you're also going to have the two witnesses, and they're not going to be able to kill the two witnesses. So make no mistake about it. When we get into these end of days, it's going to be dangerous. But it's going to be one of those things that there will be underground churches. There will be people that will be Christians that will be fighting back. But they'll be fighting back with miracles and signs and wonders. There will be miracle deliverances. We've already seen this. We've been reporting on this. And I know in one portion, this was in the Middle East, this was reported to us by a group of former Muslims who are Christians today and been Christians for a long time. They have a lot of believers in miracles, but that followed them. And they, you know, what happened was that they were, there was a group of them that were baptizing believers, new believers. And a lot of them, you know, of course, they were Muslim. And, of course, there was a group of Muslims who came from their imam. They found out about it. And they were going to kill every last one of them. So they came to arm. There was a whole bunch of them. And so they came and they started attacking them. And in the middle of the attack, in the beginning or the middle, somewhere around in there, a huge dust storm appeared. It was so bad that these Muslims couldn't see the Christians anymore. And then in the dust storm, they seen a huge figure of the Son of God who talked to them and told them. And within that, there was actually a number of these guys who were going to kill the Christians who actually became Christian as a result of that. So, you know, that when we talk about this, there are those who lose their lives in this time period. But we are told that the remnant who overcame, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb, they're giving their testimony, they're talking about the Lord, and it doesn't matter whether they lose their lives or not, because they're going to stay with the Lord. This is the dedication of the remnant. Some of them will be put in jail, and that's where they'll be, just like Jeremiah was in, was pretty much in the center of Jerusalem. You know, I think they just gotten him out of the hole when Jerusalem fell to Babylon. And, of course, when the Babylonian army and the leader came in, they seen Jeremiah and recognized who he was, and they said, well, you can come with us to Babylon, or you can just stay here. It doesn't matter. And the Lord told him that he would be all right. Now, see, we see this kind of a thing. We see, biblically speaking, and this is what I go by. When I go through the Old Testament, I see the people of God protected. Some of them die, and even in the Hall of Faith in the New Testament, and we've studied on this too. Within that section there, there are those who have decided, and it says in there that they wanted a better resurrection, so they died in the faith for the Lord. There were others who desired a miracle, and they hung on to the promise of deliverance, and they were delivered from the sword. They were delivered from death. They were delivered from many things. So when we get into this, you know, you have to get into this, and you have to believe. You have to seek the Lord, and you pray God, and you look to him. And if you find a promise, you hang on to it, you pray it, and you see deliverances. And sometimes you're prepared to die like a lot of these guys are that we've been getting the testimony from, and the Lord shows up, and they get delivered. We had another story of a woman who had, and I think it was this Wednesday night on our advocacy yesterday,
And we were talking about this young woman who had female genital mutilation done on her, FGM, and it killed her. And they had a policy in their little village that that had to go on. So the imam and his buddies were going around, and that's what they were doing, along with the women who were doing it. Of course, the men ain't going to do it, but the women will, the women. And so at any rate, she died. But guess what? The Lord resurrected her from the dead. She became alive, and they just were incensed. And, of course, you know, people got saved as a result of it. I mean, the Lord healed her. Yeah, totally healed her. They couldn't believe it. So, you know, what do we say? Well, you know, the whole church is going to be gone, and, you know, the poor Jews that are left, some of them are going to, you know, come to the Lord. They're going to come to the Lord, and they're all going to get slaughtered, and no. You're all going to, you know, there is a place. But what we like here is that the connection here between the woman and the overcoming has to do with this end time, has to do with the time period of which we're in right now. And it says in verse 12, "Therefore rejoice, you heavens, and you that dwell in them. Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea." Now see, this is the connection here. We have the red dragon. So now he says, "For the devil has come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knows that his time that he hath but a short time." And then it says here, the next verse, "And when the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child." Now, of course, here again, we have a couple of different schools of thought. And, you know, I basically don't worry about it. You know, it doesn't bother me either way, you know. The point here is that out of Israel, God chose a woman, and out of the woman came a man-child. Now, on the other hand, we look at the fact that from the man-child was born the church, and the church is referred to as woman. And out of that woman came forth the gospel, which preaches the man-child as the coming Son of God, the Almighty, who's going to rule and reign. So there are those who will emphasize the one in order to lessen actually the action of Israel in this. But God is not done with Israel. God did not destroy Israel. Paul explains that in Romans 11. But the thing here of it is, in verse 12 it says the devil, in verse 13 it talks about the dragon. This is the same one. The devil, of course, he's mentioned here because the devil is the one that's associated as a liar and a thief, the father of lies. He's the one that even the Lord talked to the Pharisees and lawyers and even some of the Jews themselves and religious there, saying you are of your father the devil. The devil can appear as religious as well, and in many times he does. As a matter of fact, you can find him in religions, many of them. And so, but the devil here is the one that also caused the rebellion in heaven. But the one in heaven would be more known to be Lucifer, the light bearer, the one who was the light, who would appear as righteous and powerful, but he was evil and wicked and prideful. So you have different names for the same one, because he has a lot of different characters within him. But see, the devil is the one that's been cast out because of what he did in heaven, and he did it because he appeared as an angel of light. We can compare him to Lucifer. And so in the earth, we see the dragon, and the dragon is the one that's emphasized here, because the dragon is the beast. The dragon is the one that tears and destroys and kills and has the power to assume control of the earth. Now, you wonder what happened in America. You wonder what happened around the world. For instance, with ISIS, how did that happen? That happened because the dragon, which is alive and well even right now, got them going. Why did Erdogan suddenly decide to be so antichrist? Because it's that time. He was, you know, he sees his kingdom as a Sunni kingdom and a caliphate. Iran, the Persians, look at the Mahdi, and the one, you know, the Mahdi controlling the earth. So all of these things are happening at the same time. And right in the middle of this chaos is the dragon, the god of chaos, the one who has been given the power. He's been given the power to deceive, to bring this to pass. Now, he's only going to be able to have the power that God gave him, and he's going to be limited, and that's the one thing this does. The reason this is happening, and Paul kind of defines it, he does define it, when he says that they will reject the love of the truth, and for this God is going to give them a delusion, so they'll believe a lie because they refused the truth. They rejected the truth. So you have a society that suddenly wakes up and says, well, I don't believe in this Jesus stuff. I don't believe in this Christian stuff. We're sick of Christians. As a matter of fact, today I was reading a number of articles about headlines, rather, and things that came through that people, you know, in various places, even in America, want to outlaw Christianity. And then I seen that one from Texas who wants to basically stop the Christians from being Christian. The churches wouldn't be able to say, well, okay, we believe the people that can work in our church has to be born again, Christian, etc. Well, see, I can tell you back in the 70s when we were gathered in our pastor's church, that's where we left to go into the ministry back in the later 70s. There was quite a number of us couples who went out. We were just one couple of them. But we used to stand in the foyer on a Sunday night after the preacher, the pastor would get done, and we would talk about this. We knew that sodomy was going to be a big deal. We knew that because we could see in Scripture. We knew that this was going to happen. A lot of these things we knew back in the 70s. You know, we knew a lot of this stuff was going to go on. We knew that there would be those powers in the earth that would try to get churches to hire someone to do their church, like to teach Sunday school, and they don't meet the requirements. There was a lot of this stuff that was discussed back then. It's not new. The bottom line of it is the church is the church. It's separated and it's under God, and we have to make sure. Now, you know, I talk a lot about the churches being a certain way. There's, you know, we are so divided. A lot of them are backslidden. A lot of them are lukewarm. Now, see, the building, the bricks and stones are not the church. It's the people. But the people gather together in the Lord's name. And when two or more are gathered together in his name, the Spirit of God moves and Christ is in the middle of them. That's the church. The church are the people who are gathered in the name of the Lord. The Spirit of God is there. And that's the church. And that church there can be in a building. Okay, so then we have gotten to the point where we call the church the place, and that's where you find the glory. No, the glory is not in the building. The glory is in the people who are in the building because they know the Christ. Now, it's about time Christians understood that. Because that's just a building. And I can tell you why I'm telling you that. Because if you're over in China today, one of the largest churches have been shut down, Wang Yi, and they took 100 with him. And they also took a lot of the others and put them in work camps. That's what President Xi is doing over there in China. And at the same time, America's trying to work out an economic deal with these nuts. And they're over there, and they've got Christians all over the place that they're persecuting now, closing so-called churches. Well, the Chinese know. Yes, that's a gathering place. But the Chinese got through Mao's turn because he was Antichrist too. And they went underground. The church and the times of the early church went underground. You know, if you want to stay in your church, there's only one way you're going to do it. You know, like in China, You've got to agree to what they agree with. And you put the Chinese communists first in China, then comes your God. Now, see, Wang Yi would have nothing on it. That's why he's in jail right now. Now, see, Americans, I'm telling you, when this thing starts to go down, the first thing they're going to do is shut your churches. They're going to start taking your rights away. They're going to stop you being able to preach and teach and do just about anything. Then they're going to shut your churches down. And the only ones that will stay open are the ones that will agree to the one world order and to the beast and what he's saying. That's what they're going to do. That's what they have done in every nation that we see. We see Erdogan doing it. We see Persia completely closing them down, totally stopping them. Erdogan, Pastor Brunson, was a Christian over there and worked for 20 years, and he threw him in jail. I mean, this is the way it works. And see, in this kind of a chaos is how the dragon works his best, how he gets his troops together. He brings down nations, makes them weaker. That's why he wants to bring down America, because when he can get America down, you're not going to have the Samaritan's Purse. When he brings down the UK, you're not going to have a lot of the nonprofits from there, the nonprofits from America, even the nonprofits from other places to be able to help the church and help others who need help. He doesn't want them existing. He wants them destroyed, so he's going to weaken everything. And that's why he's infiltrated your churches in America. That's why he's infiltrated your government, and he's been in government for a long time. Dear God in heaven, Kennedy warned before he was assassinated that there was people that wanted to bring forth this nation, and he stated in a speech, he says, before I'm done with president, I'm going to tell you who they are. He was killed 1 week later. He was assassinated. So understand this. There's a darkness in this nation. There's a darkness in the world, and he appears as an angel of light, and you've got a lot of division here, and chaos is rising up, and we are on the verge right now. Now, it doesn't mean it's going to happen next week or next year, but I'm telling you, this thing, when you look at it, can take a while, but it's there, baby. So, the dragon saw that he was cast to the earth, and he persecuted the woman which brought forth the man-child. Now, guess what? The dragon, the beast, what did he try to do with Christ? He tempted him. What did he try to do with the early apostles? Tried to stop him. What did he try to do with the early church? Well, through the Roman Empire, he caused 10 different persecutions of Christians. But in the end, it turned around on him. And actually, the Roman Empire in its latter days under Constantine became a Christian nation. I mean, it was religious. It was Christian, you know, and that's, of course, where the Roman Church started out and became the Catholic Church that you know today. Now, and to the woman were given two wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, where is nourished for a time and times and half a times from the face of the serpent. This is 3.5 years. Now, see, this is exactly where you would find, if there was going to be a rapture, this is where you would put it. Time, and half a times. Now, this, the whole time. Now, see, the bottom line of it is that by the time you get to the great, you know, the wrath part of the tribulation, the church is either going to be sealed, they're going to be martyred, or they're going to be hidden somewhere. Actually, it'd be two. The sealed would be hidden and protected, and that would be martyred. That's going to be the only thing, because by the time you get to the wrath of God, there's no way the church will go through that. I don't believe that for a second. But I believe that absolutely the scripture does show you in Revelation that the believers will be here on the earth. There's nothing to suggest that God's going to take them out of here. He always removes them. He always brings them. Now, see, during the time, the best example of this is when Israel was in Egypt, Israel was set aside in a nice little place, and of course, during the judgments that Moses, declared upon Egypt, Israel went through some of them, but not all of them. And in the latter portion of it, they were set aside. And these plagues didn't affect the Israelites that were there, and didn't affect their cattle. And on the night of Passover, they were told what to do. And that's where the Passover lamb came in at. And they put the blood on the doorpost, and the death angel passed them over. Meanwhile, the death angel found the firstborn of the Egyptians. Now, see, that's the best scenario that I can give you for scriptural when we talk about the Christians, is that there is that place. God doesn't forget those who are his. The reason I say that, because by the time you get to the real battle in Jerusalem and the whole end of it, when we look in Zechariah 14 and the Son of God is coming down, all of this matches together. And the serpent cast out his mouth, out of his mouth water as a flood after the woman, that he might cause her to be carried away of the flood. And the earth helped the woman. The earth opened her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Now, a flood can be any number of things, like, within a nation like America. The flood we've had here is filthiness and uncleanness. And that came out of the mouth of the serpent, and that happened in America. But within this, we talk about he wanted to get rid of the woman. And so this could be a persecution. This could have been Hitler himself trying to kill Israel, as well as anybody else. There was Christians killed, among others. But in this part, in the last part, when we talk about it, that flood, definitely we can see that, as a mighty army, as, that is going to be used to go after it. Now, it's kind of interesting. The earth helped the woman, and the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed up the flood, which the dragon cast out of his mouth. Well, if you get into Zechariah, you see that when the Son of God comes, and Israel is surrounded, and Jerusalem is taken, and they're fighting back in there, that when the Son of God steps, on the mount, his 2 feet touch, there's going to be a big earthquake, and it's going to split open something, and the Jews will be able to flee out of there. He tells them to flee. But at any rate, we see these kind of scenarios in there when we talk about the earth helping the woman. And the earth has helped the woman before, because underneath Rome, in the catacombs, there was places where the Christians disappeared. It was like the earth opened up her mouth and swallowed them. They couldn't find them. Now, at night, the Christians would go up, and they would try to recover the bodies of the Christian brothers who were slain. There was a place where they would throw them, and they would bring them down and bury them in the catacombs. And that's why when they buried them, if they knew who they were, if there's enough left of them, they would put insignias and various things on their grave in order to mark who they were. And so we can see this. Now, in Exodus 19:4, the Lord talks to Israel, and he says, "You have seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you unto myself." Now, see, he didn't bring them up to heaven, but he was with them, and he took them out of there, and he protected them the whole time and kept them. There's coming a time that you are going to see this. Isaiah 59:18 says, "According to their deeds, accordingly he will repay. Fury to his adversaries, recompense to his enemies, to the islands he will repay recompense." 59:19, "So they shall fear the name of the Lord from the west, and his glory from the rising of the sun." And this is interesting. This is, "When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him." Now, see, it says in Revelation that the devil will use a flood. He will send a flood out. Well, in Christianity, we've always talked about the enemy coming in like a flood. And we're not talking about water. You can be sitting here in a household, and all of a sudden things start happening to you. Look what happened to Job. And that's the flood that Satan sends out. When he attacks, sometimes he'll just send a flood in. And when he does that, if you seek the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord can lift up a standard against him and stop him. You will get through that. Now, in all these years, there's been a lot of struggles, a lot of fights, and a lot of things that we had to get through. A lot of things. And God got us through. But see, you need to look in your own life, in your own, you know, just how you live. And look back and see how God delivered you. How did he save you? What did he do to you, do for you? See, I believe absolutely that when people truly get born again and saved, that God reveals himself to them in some way. He delivers them. And with Tower and I, it was no different. There were certain things that he did that he delivered us, literally. I believe God does that. And look back on that, and you put this in context. Well, if God is able to do that, he can do this. See, when the 12 spies were sent to spy out the land, the promised land, 10 of them came back with a negative report because they didn't believe the Lord. But two of them, Caleb and Joshua, they came back with a positive report. While the others said, there's no way we can do it, and there are giants, we're going to get killed, Caleb and Joshua said, let's go, God will deliver us. He will make a way. He'll give us the victory. They were ready to go. It just depends on what you believe. In verse 20 of Isaiah 59, the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And as for me, 21, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. In Daniel 11:16 through 22, it says, but he that cometh against him shall do according to his own will, and none shall stand before him, and he shall stand in the glorious land, which by his hand shall be consumed. Now this is when the Antichrist, it's not even mentioned, it's when the beast comes in here and his false prophet with the armies. And nobody's going to be able to stop him. He is going to come in. And even when you get into the Gospels, when the Lord was talking about these things, you're going to see that. He shall also set his face to enter with the strength of his whole kingdom and upright ones with him. Thus shall he do, and he shall give him the daughter of women, corrupting her, but she shall not stand on his side, neither before him. After this shall he turn his face unto the isles, and shall take many, but a prince for his own behalf shall cause the reproach offered to him to cease. Without his own reproach he shall cause it to turn upon him. Now the one thing I wanted to get down here, verse 21, and in his estate shall stand up a vile person to whom they shall not give the honor of the kingdom, but he shall come in peaceably and obtain the kingdom by flatteries, and with the arms of the flood they shall be overflown from before him and shall be broken, yea, also the prince of the covenant. Now that's in Daniel. Now that's actually speaking of Antiochus Epiphanes. And the Lord refers this to the time the abomination of desolation standing in the holy place. And of course, he was able to come in peaceably with flatteries. There were those Jews who actually took his side of it and allowed him to come in. But of course, this is where the Maccabees come in the Maccabean War. Eventually, on his deathbed, he said that he should have never done this. But it was too late. He was dying. So we look at Antiochus Epiphanes. I do a study on this, the shadow of the Antichrist, Antioch Epiphanes, because we get a lot of the stuff, because the Lord mentioned this particular incident. And so we see this as a type. So when we look at Antiochus, many people will take this and will literally try to take the whole thing of Antiochus and relate it to modern day. But actually, it's this historical narrative with value for the type that God is talking about. He's going to be like this, just like Hitler was a type of Antichrist. I'm a firm believer that Hitler was actually put in place by the devil himself, by Satan. He thought it was time to take over the world. I think Hitler would have been his Antichrist, with no doubt about it. He could have easily done that. But this Hitler, it wasn't time. So Hitler lost. But the devil is ready and willing and able to do this, and he's able to do it. And remember in 1 Kings 17, Elijah was fed by the ravens and drank of the waters of the brook Cherith. So we can see, you know, if we apply this thing to the woman, to Israel, we can see that Israel can be indeed taken care of out of the side of the serpent. If it's the church or the Christians that are here on earth, they can easily be taken care of the same way. And of course, there are those that, you know, they will pick either or. I'm just telling you what they normally do with this. Now let me look and see where we're at in the middle of all this. Because we're getting... And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. And see here, this is the remnant believers. Now you may say, well, the Christians don't keep the commandments of God. Yes, they do. I know a lot of them don't consider that. But if you read in John 15, the Lord said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. There's no doubt that the Lord talks about the commandments. The Apostle Paul and the other apostles, when they tell you not to do certain things, they were teaching out of the law. And because it was the new covenant, it was still the new law. I mean, it was the new covenant. But, you know, Christ came not to destroy the law, but to fulfill it. But it's still the commandments of God. Now, you're going to find this in Revelation. Now, this is why a lot of them believe this is just going to be messianic believers, but that's not true. It's not going to be messianics at this time. And if you go overseas, you find out. And this is one thing about it. When you talk denominations, Satan don't care about your denominations. And we've seen that with ISIS. You know, whatever the church is, whoever they are, if you're in a church, and if you name the name of Jesus Christ, you're going to die. That's, you're going to die or unless you become like they are. So the devil don't care what your churches say. And of course there is going to be a whore church, but no, so that's Revelation 17. And an interesting now the remnant of her seed. And when we talk about this, we're going to talk about Israel for a minute. And so we see that in Israel, now of course Paul said, all of Israel shall be saved. And some people have said that of that verse, all Israel who are Israel will be saved. And all Israel is not Israel, but there's spiritual Israel, Jew, Gentile, male, female. And so when you put this together, but if we just take it from the fact of Israel being the Jews, not knowing the Messiah, then coming to the Lord, this is what Deuteronomy says. This is back in the Torah. Deuteronomy chapter 4. This is interesting. This is verse 29. Now, this is after they've been judged. You know, Moses is talking about this. And he says, but if from thence thou shalt seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart, with all thy soul. When thou art in tribulation, now listen closely, and all these things are come upon thee, even in the latter days, we are in the latter of the latter days, if thou turn to the Lord thy God, and shall be obedient unto his voice. For the Lord thy God is a merciful God, and he will not forsake thee, neither destroy thee, nor forget the covenant of thy fathers which he sware unto them. Now see, this is talking about Israel, who had forsaken the Lord, who had fallen away, who had been in judgment. Then all of a sudden, when you are in tribulation, now Israel, the Jews have been in tribulation a lot of different times. But see, if we apply this and look at the time during the Antichrist, he's going to make war. The gospel tells us this, that he's going to enter into Jerusalem. Revelation tells us that he's going to go after them. So when we look at this, the real tribulation of all tribulations is coming. And it will be not just on Christians. It'll be on the entire world. It'll be on Israel, and it will be on Christians. And Paul points us out that, you know, in this end of days, they're going to reject the love of the truth, which is our God and our Father and His Son, the Messiah, Jesus, Yahshua. And they're going to reject everything He is, including the gospel. And with that, they're going to reject the gospel, the salvation, Jesus Christ, Yahshua, the Father. They're going to reject Israel as well. Everything that has anything to do with it, they will reject. And this new one that comes up, they will seek and they will accept. John 14:15, if you love me, keep my commandments. John 15:10, if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Revelation 22:14, blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life, and may enter in through the gates into the city. Now, Paul, when given his testimony, and I'm going to close with this, Acts 13 and 22. When he had removed him, he raised up unto him them David to be their king. Now, this is after Saul. To whom also he gave testimony and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after my own heart, which shall fulfill all my will. Now remember, Paul did not know the Messiah until after the resurrection of the Lord. Of this man's seed hath God, according to his promise, raised unto Israel a Savior, Jesus. Now see, that's Paul's word on this. Revelation 14:12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God and the faith of Jesus. Revelation 22. Blessed are they that do his commandments, that they may have right to the tree of life and may enter in through the gates into the city. So I went through that just to give you the fact that the dragon is making war with the woman, and the woman's seed are those who keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This is the remnant of the woman. So if we was to put the woman, now here, this is the other side, as the church itself being born, the woman itself that gave birth, and the seed, this one here, meaning many, born out of the one which was born, which was the one. So you have people, the seed, that are the, you know, that keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ. So you can look at this and you can see this. Now, you know, when you get in Revelation, the most important part here is not whether it's Israel or whether it's just the Gentiles or whether it's the church. The point here is, this dragon is going to control the earth. He's going to control every nation. He's going to do everything. He's going to do what he wants, pretty much. And he's going to make war with this remnant, which keep the commandments of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ, which we overcome by the word of our testimony. It's the same thing that was told us in Revelation 12:11. And this is Revelation 12:17. This is all in the same context. So you cannot throw out the church here, and you also can't throw out Israel. Because Israel is just as much a part of this as the church. And so God is going to, and Paul really does a good job of pointing this out in Romans 11. So I encourage you to read that. And of course, that's the end of this. I've gone over a little further than I wanted to, but Father, we thank you for your word tonight, and bless those that heard this. Help them to understand it. Give them understanding, and help them not to worry, but give them faith and patience and love. guide them, direct them, and keep them in Jesus' name. And in Jesus' name, I bind you, Satan, and the powers of darkness from the preaching, teaching, streaming, and receiving of this word in Jesus' name. Okay, Tower.
Okay, I really like this. And I'm thankful that God has warned us so that we're not going to be shocked when these things come to pass. You know?
Yeah. Me too. Well, at any rate, we got to get out of here.
Good night, everybody. Thank you for joining us. God bless you. Be sure to join us tomorrow night for Sound the Shofar. And thank you for all you do for the King. We love you and we pray for you. Good night.
Good night, everybody. We thank you for joining us today on WARN Radio, the Watchman Alert Radio Network. This is the Watchman, and for all of us here, shalom, everyone. See you again on the radio.